like the Mishnah says in Parak Shishi, kol ha-morav l'mikvas k'mikvas. So that's why the Ram holds it. If it's morav to mayan, it's a mayan. The only reason the Ram holds it can't be that way is because you must have the characteristic of zohar. What? Right? Vayam Avram Hainli Lanasata Zorov Inevan Basi Yerushasi. Then Vinez Vashem Lerush Kimash Mechu Yerushecha. Vayatis Achutso, Vayam Lako Yezarecha, Vahemin Barashem, Vayakshiveh Lotz Daka. The question. And Avram Avinu had no idea of how or what is going to take place. Apparently, Avram felt that it was the laws of nature do not permit such a phenomenon. So therefore, he thought that it's the way he was telling it would seem, at least. Says Hashem l'kim matitin li v'anochi yolach ariri v'en meshik beisi yudah mesik aliyeza v'em Avram hein li lo nasatazar v'en even beisi yerushasi. So what did Avram say? Avram didn't ask God for a child at that point.
It's all over.
That's the implication. That's it. It's all over. So then God said, no, and it says,
or is that a nice way, or is
Avram... Basically like this. Question is, what's going on with regard to the question is, what's going on with regard to the... It would seem from the pasuk that he didn't believe that it's possible for him to have any more children, and he wasn't even misspelled, didn't even ask God for children. So So the implication from the pasuk is not that he asked God for a child, and God answered him. So what's for him but Hashem? He asked God for something. God said you could have it, and that's it. That requires a tremendous amuna. What is for him but Hashem? What's the great amuna here? And it would seem from the pasuk that not that he's just being polite, but that he simply didn't ask God for it. He should have asked God. I want a child. Now give me a child. Okay, you can do everything. So give me a child. He didn't ask him. All right. Hashem v'yachshevel l'tzedakah. So Rashi says, v'yachshevel l'tzedakah HaKadosh Baruch Hu choshvel Avram l'schus l'tzedakah al ha'amuna sheheimin bo. That's what Rashi says. So Ramban asks our question. He says, Pirush Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu choshvel l'tzedakah l'schus al ha'amuna sheheimin bo v'eini meivin ma ha'schus hazos lama lo yamin belokei Amen. V'hu anavi ba'atmo v'lo ishkel v'chazev u'mi shehemen lishcholos b'no ha'yachir ha'ov u'shor ha'nisyonos eich lo yamen b'psura tova. So what's the big tzedaka? V'anachem b'enek yama shehemen b'ashem v'choshev ki b'tzidko shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'emar Hashem v'choshev ki b'tzidko shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu yidin lo zera al kol panim lo b'tzidko savram u'b'schara af al pishom al ha'schor ha'aber me'od me'at al ha'yir pen yirgam ha'chid af pishon avu ha'shon ha'as. Play the same. The hemen b'ashem v'yachsheveh lo tzedaka. That ki amah shehemen b'ashem v'choshav ki b'tzidko shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu yitin lo zera. Lo b'tzidkas Avram u'b'schara. But then the problem is he said schorcha haber me'od before, so why can't it be b'schara? Right, it's a good kasher. He says schorcha haber me'od. Av v'shem lo schorcha haber me'od u'me'ata lo yira pen yigro machet. Bothered that the second kasha was worse than the first. In other words, the kasha of Kibi Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazora and Haleu L'Ola was not as serious as the problem of Al Tishlach Yotcha L'Nar. Right. Al Tishlach Yotcha L'Nar. That was an impossible thing for him. That was more difficult than the first kasha. That's why he didn't ask in the first kasha. See, a person naturally, emotionally would ask in the first one, not in the second one. The second one is where he's getting saved, so don't ask any questions. But you see, to Avram was a matter of which kasha, which was more difficult to understand about God. First one wasn't that difficult. Second one was more difficult. Why? Why was the second one more difficult than the first? Because in the first one, God said, "Ki bi Yitzchak yikara lecha Zora," so that meant that according to the way things are, so Yitzchak will be the one that's the future progenitor. However, Avraham Avinu understood when God said, "Alei Hashem la'olah," that it must have been not that it was really not that the statement was actually a nevuah. But it meant that that's the way the situation stood at the time. At the time was the way things were at the time was supposed to be. But then there was Basher Hashem. In other words, at that time that's the way it was supposed to be. But then later there was a change. There was a change. Whatever reason.
In other words,
the statement of God is not a prophetic statement originally. It was a statement that revealed the knowledgeable situation at the time. It was expressive of the way the situation at the time should be governed according to according to God's knowledge. And then later, there's a change. Whatever the change was, that was a problem. But that's the way he understood it. But then, it was a problem. It was a problem. I'm saying it's not a problem. It's a problem. But it wasn't right. But he understood it to be that apparently the way God I must have misunderstood the way God the statement from God was the way the situation warranted at the time, and now the situation has changed, whatever reason it is, and it doesn't warrant anymore. Ki b'Yitzchak yikara lecha Zora. All right. Okay. You see that really. Yes. That really wasn't so much the problem. The fact that Basher Hashem is a klal, that God judged Basher Hashem. So that's not really a problem. The only thing that was a problem was, really what was a problem was the fact that it was a bris. That was really the problem. If it would just be a matter of schar, so you could say at one time the person has a certain schar, another time a person doesn't have that schar. So therefore there's a change. So the nevuah that he received at one time was based upon his situation then. Later it's based upon something else. But with regard to the only problem that Avram had really was not that. The problem was that it was a bris. Ki b'Yitzchak yikara lecha Zora really was a bris. The question is, could a bris really change according to the situation? That was a problem. Could a bris change according to the situation? Now, but that was one theory. That was one problem. But the second problem was even greater, because the second problem was with regard to a tzivui. In other words, Haleu Shom La'olo was a tzivui. That was a mitzvah. Then God said, "Al tikach al tishlach yadcha l'nar al taslam yuma." So now it means that mitzvahs Hashem could change. See, then Avram, that's when Avram asked. Avram said the bris, mele, that the bris could change. Okay? But Avram sensed here that he tied both problems together. The problem with the change in the bris and the problem with the change in the mitzvah. But he didn't ask until there was a change in the mitzvah, because a change in the mitzvah seems impossible. That God should give out one mitzvah and then he should change that mitzvah? That seems even more difficult than a change in the in the bris. That's why he asked at the time. But he sensed that there's something that he misunderstands. He tied it both together. Somehow or other, he knew, intuitively sensed that the second problem caused him to ask about the first problem as well. You see. So God answered, a bris could be contingent upon schusim. But a mitzvah is not a steer. But a mitzvah, to say that the God gives out a mitzvah and then he tells man not to do it, first tells him to do it, then he tells him not to do it. That seems absurd. That seems absurd. What am I saying?
Now
you reach a certain level. You're deserving of a bris. So therefore, the kibitzel kol chazal. Then later he said, no, it didn't work out that way. It would have been very nice, but it didn't work out that way.
You're saying he understood that more than what God told him.
You're dealing with the source. You're dealing with the highest perfection. God is the highest level of perfection possible. Now, what kind of perfection is this? Tell a man to do something and tell him not to do it. So then when he saw that, he was confused. So how is this possible? How is such a thing possible? So, but what I want to point out is not that it's not that he was confronted with an impossibility. He was confronted with understanding the midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the analysis is. It's not like a contradictory. First, keep Yitzchak Kol HaZor. Then, that's impossible. It's completely impossible. I'm going to do it anyways. Because if it's totally logically impossible, so then logic will dictate that you should deny what you saw. You understand what I mean? In other words, let's say a person would see something with the senses one way, and then he sees the exact opposite with the same senses. Well, he'll be stuck. He simply can't function. It's impossible to function. Which one of the sense perceptions are you going to accept? It's like I told you somebody the story where I asked somebody. They said that they believe everything that Chazal say. I said, let's say Chazal would say you can't split the atom, and I'll take you to the laboratory and see where you do split the atom with your own eyes. He said, I would believe Chazal. I said, no, that's impossible, because if you're going to say that you're going to deny your senses that you saw the atom split, so you're going to have to deny the fact that you saw that Chazal, because that you also saw with the senses. How do you know the Chazal? So it reaches the point it's impossible to function. It's logically impossible. So if you're going to say his whole idea of God would have to be he would be simply in a state of confusion if it's an impossibility.
What they call it, like Baromi.
Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara, if he's going to accept that he'd have to deny one of the Nevuahs or deny the whole institution of Nevuah, he'd be caught in the process where he couldn't escape. But the truth of the matter is that it wasn't an impossibility. What it was he was trying to understand Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was an attempt to understand Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the answer, that's the pshat in the answer. The answer is, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo achal el brisi, umotza sfasai lo eshta. See? So, kishya amarti loch kach, motza sfasai lo eshna. Lo amarti loch shchatei ol haleo, asaktei achsei. What it means like is lo achal brisi, that you think that I can be machal lebris, and that's why you thought that the kibi yitzchak kol chazara was undone and now was halel lo, no, lo achal brisi. My nature is that I will once I create the bris, it never is broken. And not only that, but also motza sfasai lo eshna. You see the way it's formulated, that the second one is worse than the first. Because lo achal brisi means to change it, to break bris. Motzasfasai lo eshne means that he's simply changed, it's like a liar. So motzasfasai lo eshne. So, of course, that wasn't with regard to the tzivui. So God said, no, in both instances, your assumption is wrong. And it all works out together. Because I never really broke the bris, because I never told you shchoteo, and therefore there's no contradiction in the tzivui, and there's no contradiction in the bris. That was the kind of a
but from Avram's point of view, that was the
simple answer. It's not really just semantics. I mean, that's a good point that Avi's mentioning. It's a game. God uses this word, that word. No. It means that Haleu Sham Lo'ola means that the Nesoyan was really to put him on the altar. That was really the Nesoyan. Once he did that already, the Shechita just was naturally followed. See, so what God said was, I didn't say Shchateo. I didn't want you to remove him from existence. I didn't want you to remove his existence. All I wanted was that you should be capable of being mocker of him. And that was accomplished in Haleo. For that, Shchateya wouldn't have added anything. So that's why there's no stira. So therefore the mitzvah, you did the mitzvah. You really kept the mitzvah. No, there's a chazal that corroborates that. That the Afer of Yitzchak is always before God. Question is, where's the Afer of Yitzchak? Yitzchak was never burnt. See? The answer is the Afer Shal Yitzchak means the Hakrova, and so far from Avraham Avinu's standpoint. From his standpoint, there was a real Hakrova. It was Afer, actually. That's the answer, really.
It wasn't
Afer. Also, okay. Well, that's really the question of whether how old he was and this. Machlokes the Rambam and the other Chazal. The Rambam won't accept that he was really 37 years old. Because the Rambam says, if that was the case, he said it would have been a greater Nisayan for Yitzchak than for Avram. From the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, the Akeda and Zichronos, the Akeda is Avram, really. It's not Yitzchak. The Akeda is Avram, from Avram Avinu's standpoint. I'd love to... There's no stiris, therefore there's no forest bris. So therefore there's no... Right.
The
Akeda is Yitzchak. So you see, it's from the standpoint of Avram. Akedah Yitzchak is not from the standpoint of Yitzchak, from the standpoint of Avram. That's the way the tefillah has it. And the pasuk is mashma that way too. It's a funny thing, but the whole world converts into
apparently that's
Yitzchak. I don't know why.
This guy from the seminary wrote a whole.
It's a matter of identification, but the plain shot in the pasuk doesn't work that way. The Rambam's son wrote. He said, "My father." He says, "I know Chazal say was 37." He said, "My father was dochel that b'shtei yadayim." The concept of a mesiras nefesh for a child is not the same thing as for an adult, because he doesn't have any real concept of what life is. He doesn't know what it means. He doesn't really have a concept of what life and death is. It's not the same type of thing. It's not the same kind of thing.
Yeah, right. There's all these.
What? You see, we don't understand exactly what the problems were that Avram had in understanding bris. But you see that the question was whether bris really, you see, God relates to man, and God is the source of the universe. The question is whether bris, in relationship to man, is a fixed immutable law, like the other laws of the universe, or whether it's something which is subject to change. It's a different type of thing. That was really the question that Avraham Avinu was concerned with. And we don't know the whole metaphysics of the problem, but it's in that area. Is there one point? In other words, is when Avraham Avinu really recognized recognized God through the laws of nature. He was the first person to do that, to recognize God through the laws of nature. So really, he accepted the fact that that it's immutable. That's it. Can't change the laws. Nature, and he's too old, and he can't have any children, and that's it. Now, when God said that he will give him a child, so this was a contradiction. This was a contradiction to his understanding of God. So, what does it mean, v'hem in b'ashem, v'yachshevel lo tzedakah? It means that he recognized that he can't possibly have a full understanding of God's nature. That's what it means. It means he recognized that he can't have a full understanding of God's nature. So we spoke about that a few times. With the concept of the God of Einstein. See? The God of Einstein means, the God of Einstein is the God of the universe, where Einstein recognized God. But there was only one thing. The mistake that he made was that he assumed that God cannot relate to particulars. And it's a natural assumption, but it's a false one. The Hem and Bashem means that he stepped back. And he said, as contradictory as this sounds, because here God is the one that created these laws of nature, and it doesn't make any sense that he should change them. So it doesn't make any sense to me, but I have no right to draw that conclusion. And therefore, that's why it's called Emunah. It's called Emunah because he couldn't perceive it anymore in a rational way. It didn't fit into the rational framework that he had before. It says, Vayach Shevel Lo Tzedakah. So that was the Tzedakah. He moved back and he said, my mind can't comprehend God, and therefore I have no right to say what his essence and what his nature was. That move backwards was Vayach Shevel Lo Tzedakah. That was his greatness. That's what Hamid Bashan.
That's okay.
Rambam says, "When Rambam says, 'When Asal on Eis v'Nimmat,' Rambam says,
'Yeah, why did he laugh?'
Yeah,
so
why is different types of nisim?
Saved from
the Rambam says there was some nis that occurred. Whatever the nis was, Rambam doesn't say what the nis was.
Was he nis?
He says Nimrod tried to kill him, and Asal on Eis v'Nimmat. How? I'm sorry. Did you want to say something before? Baruch Kel, Shane said Baruch Kel Onion, Konei Shemayim V'Aretz. Konei Shemayim V'Aretz means the God of the universe. That's the God of the universe. And here, it was already a new phenomena. It was the God that relates to man, that creates a bris with God that creates a bris with man. Just a second, hold on a second. This nevuah, the nevuah of Achad Varm Eloi Dvar Hashem Eloi Avram B'machaz Elemar Altir Avram is really a whole new transition. It's a new transition. Before this, there was no relationship between Avram and God, insofar as Hashgacha is concerned, in relationship to this world, in relationship to establishing a bris with a specific nation. It was just like how he said, Baruch Kel Elyon Kanei Shemayim V'Aretz. Was just the God of the universe. Over here was an introduction of a totally new concept of God.
But it's interesting, the phrase Elkei
Oretz. It's the first bracha in Yetzirah. That's it. Konei Shemayim V'Aretz. That's right. So really, that was really the essence of the bris bein ha'bsara. Because before that, there was no bris between man and God. No, the whole idea didn't exist. It was just Konei Shemayim V'Aretz. And this was a new phenomena. God, as far as he relates to man, and establishes a bris. That's why this was an introduction of a new concept of bris. And Avraham Avinu didn't know whether once the bris is established, could it be undone or could it not be undone. And that, the answer, he didn't find till the end of the Akedah. That was that's the way it follows through. The bris ben Absalom is a turning point in Avraham Avinu's knowledge of God. It's a turning point, and that's why the end of the bris ben Absalom, v'hemim bar Hashem v'yachshev lo tzedakah, that was a turning point in this concept of God. When was the turning point? When he saw that God relates to man, to particulars. God's relationship to man, relationship with man as a particular, is, or even as a species, I mean, his relationship to man in particular was a turning point in the concept of God, in his concept of God. Was the bris ben Absalom. So far as the question of how bris works, that he couldn't find out until the end of the Akedah.
What?
We're talking about. We have to make sure we know what we're talking about. Otherwise, we're not talking about particulars as far as schar v'onesh. Schar v'onesh is definitely existed before. The institution of schar v'onesh existed before. What we're talking about is bris. What we're talking about what's new in the bris ben Absarim is the concept of bris. You see, that didn't exist before. What?
What do you mean?
No, that's a different bris. That's not it. It's a bris that he wants to destroy the world. This is a different concept. What? It means, in other words, before was schar v'onesh. Schar v'onesh existed before. I mean, can't make a mistake about that.
You see that from Rashi, because that's what Avram was...
The idea of schar v'onesh existed before. That hashgacha always existed. That hashgacha was not a question for Avram Avinu. Because that's a natural phenomenon. Schar v'onesh is a natural phenomenon. Especially the Rambam explains schar v'onesh. So the that was no problem. But bris is a new concept. Why? Because bris means regardless of schar v'onesh. It means that I'm establishing a nation that which is a nation which I have a special relationship with, and has and even though they deserve to be destroyed, still they won't because of my bris. In the establishing in the bris of Klal Yisrael, it's not the same thing as schar v'onesh. It's not just simply a process of schar v'onesh going on there. If it was just schar v'onesh, you wouldn't need the whole concept of the bris of Klal Yisrael. Bris Klal Yisrael means in spite of the fact that the that Klal Yisrael lachotim. There's a bris. There's a special entity of bris. That's what was new in the bris bein apsarim. And this was what Avram never saw before. This is what he never saw before. See, in the bris bein apsarim. So this was a universal. This was a new law in nature. This was a new law in nature. And it was because of that new law in nature that he received a child. It was because of new law in nature he received a child. So that was something that he didn't understand. In other words, Avram Avinu understood God insofar as Chav HaOnish is concerned before. He understood God insofar as Kona Shemayim V'Aretz. But he didn't understand God insofar as being one that initiates a bris, which means that he implants... That requires the implementation of a special law in nature, especially in history, which means that a specific nation stands in relationship to God in a very special way. That was something that he didn't conceive of. They didn't conceive of till the bris bein apsarim. That was a turning point. Yeah. 1 second. Noach was a natural system, and Noach is God b'taras borei olam. That's different. It means to say that the planet had no purpose in existence anymore. That's a different thing. But over here, you're talking about specifics. You're talking about these specific things are going to be worked out historically so that a nation should continue to exist. That's a different phenomenon altogether.
I have just a question.
It was a natural process. Just like thinking is a natural process, so is my own work. So okay. If you're thinking, so you can tell me that does that prove anything?
No, but he's...
A natural process. Nivu is a natural process. It's not something you can just go by... The Torah doesn't describe it.
From a deterministic...
Avram as an individual, as a yachid, really, there's no bris. But Avraham, Avamon Goyen, that's already a different gavra. It means the bris. That's what it really means. It's really just describing it. What's understood very simply and very clearly as meaning, as a matter of fact, the psukim in Iyuv refer to the laws of nature as the psukim in Iyuv. They refer to the mazalos and the stars as laws of nature. Open
is it because they believe that?
Is because of the fact that they wanted to hide from the Hamon the concept of the laws of nature per se, because that's not something which leads a person who's religious emotionally, it leads him furthers him on his path. So they put it in the framework of a astrology. You see?
It's better
if you
try to tell them that.
No, not necessarily about a czar. You can say if someone believes in astrology, they're about a czar. No, not necessarily. It's not. First of all, Ramban Hoffman. But what they did was that they didn't want to get him involved, disclose the idea of the laws of nature, because the laws of nature is a big danger. Varaya, you see Maisa Bracious, you're not allowed to talk about Maisa Bracious publicly. Maisa Bracious is the foundation of the laws of nature. So you see that there's very good reason to assume that the statement is referring to laws of nature. Psukim and Iyuv. Okay, projections. So you have to work. You have to work those over. A new concept, new relationship to a certain people. That there's a new kind of schar v'onesh. And then the pasuk does say that. It says v'hoyu b'chol osul mofes v'zarach adolam. The pasuk says in the flawless. It says that they were makabel the kabbalah satara was ba'olo b'shvua.
Right.
And there was a special bris of the klolos. What's the special bris of the klolos and the brachas? What's the special? Why is it different than any other bris? What it means is that they'll makabel upon themselves these klolas and these brachas. Meaning to say that they will suffer demonstrably in order to, if they deviate, that's the bris. The bris is that now if you deviate, there's going to be a demonstration. That's right. There's a demonstration. And if you don't, then you have the brachas. So now brachas and klolas are outside the realm of schar v'onesh. There's a brachas and klolas that come under the realm of bris. It's a different concept of it's not merely schar v'onesh. And it's very possible that a person, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuva, it's very possible that a person can lose his ability to do tshuva because of that. It could be because of this bris that he accepted upon himself that he could be destroyed, and therefore if there was no bris, then it's possible that he may have been able to do tshuva and he would have been saved. But the bris is a different phenomenon of schar v'onesh. That's why the makabel the Torah ba'ola b'shvua is a different concept of schar v'onesh, not the regular concept of schar v'onesh. It means v'hoyu b'chol osu l'mofes of azar charolam. Osu l'mofes means with regard to the rest of the world. That's l'osu l'mofes. So it means that there's another concept of schar v'onesh that relates to the idea of Klal Yisro, insofar as there's a bris, as they exist as a part of the bris between God and a specific people. Now there's a demonstration of schar v'onesh. Schar v'onesh, right after the brachos and klolos, schar v'onesh was called Targum. It indicates the fact that until he had that concept of Ahem and Bashem, then if he didn't have that concept, he couldn't go any further. Because after that was Yerushas Aretz. That's the next thing. Okay? And then, right. Then it's Yerushas Aretz. Really, it's the whole system of Yerushas Aretz. See, by Yom Ho Kars Hashem was Avram Bris Lemel, Zarcha Nasati Tzaretz Zos Min Hamitz Raim Adonor Agodol Maha Pras. So really the culmination of Klal Yisrael, the idea of Klal Yisrael, demands the idea of Eretz Yisrael. Demands the idea of Eretz Yisrael. It must be Yerushas Aretz. Without Yerushas Aretz, then Klal Yisrael apparently there's no base. The whole idea of Klal Yisrael is incomplete. So therefore, Yerushas Aretz is an extension of the idea of Klal Yisrael. And until he understood God in relationship with the bris and the establishment of Klal Yisrael, he couldn't go any further in the detail of Yerushas Aretz. So it would be an impossibility. Because Yerushas Aretz is an extension of that concept, and it would depend upon Avram to be able to have a sagan understanding of the whole idea of God as a Koresh Bris. Once he understood God as a Koresh Bris, then he could go on and give him the detail of Yerushas Aretz. Before that, he couldn't go any further. Yeah, the Mem Bashem means that he was able to assume the proper... attitude, philosophically, with regard to understanding God as a Koresh Bris. See? To God as a Koresh Bris. Once he understood God as... it was in the proper framework. Once he understood God as a Koresh Bris, then he can go on with Yerushas Aretz. Before that, he couldn't. That's why it's interrupted. Because it would be impossible for him to go on any further unless he was able to absorb the concept. The idea that you can't... That God cannot give a person more nevuah than the person is ready for. In other words, if he doesn't understand that basic concept, then there's no way he can go further. So it's up to Avram. That shows you really what that really supports what we said before. The Vehem and Bashem doesn't just mean the Stam Amunah. What's it meant? Stam Amunah should be after the whole thing. The Vehem and Bashem was in the establishment of a certain philosophical attitude. That's what it was. And that philosophical attitude, if it wasn't established, God could not go on any further with the Nevuah. If it was just that he believed God, so it should be at the end of the story. Believe God.
What's the
B'moed Akira Shena? So they try to... What? What's the answer? That's what you want to find out.
That was the answer to that question.
Oh, the answer to that question? The answer to the question was that this bris. The bris ben Absalom, with the setting up the bris ben Absalom over there. With the B'moed Akira Shena, they say that with the bris represents halacha, represents Torah. That's what they say. Lamoida lo sholo. The rach lamoida lo sholo os. Amaimu ba. Amalo akarish baruchu b'schus hakabanas. That's the way Chazal learned. So Chazal learned, in other words, that what was this question according to Chazal? It's an important Chazal. So it's not just this dumb drush over there. It's an important Chazal. What's wrong?
Definitely
not. Yeah. It's a very important philosophical point being made over here. We learn a Chazal, not that he asked with what. But he asked with what? With what? Not that he asked for a proof. It doesn't make any sense to say, how could God substantiate himself? It's impossible. You don't accept what God says, so then there's no substantiation. It doesn't make any sense. It's an impossibility. Can't substantiate. What's God going to substantiate? With what? But he meant to say like this. He meant to say that he understood the idea from that God can have a certain relationship with a specific nation. But he couldn't understand that the... Do they say it's on the land, or do they say it's on the... Pasuk says Ki Roshana. Stay alive.
Okay, that apparently... In other words...
That's what the Mamim Batarim really. Mamim Batarim means that he holds from Bris. He holds from Bris, the concept of Bris. That's really the essential concept. That's what differentiates us from... Stama person that holds the person just believes in Schar V'Onesh, he's still just a philosopher, even though he accepts Schar V'Onesh. Bris really is what sets apart Klal Yisrael, that you believe that God is a Koresh Bris. Now that's the essence, that's why Mila is the essence of the Torah. Bris Hashem Chasam to the Seiner, or Torah Rosh Hashem Adonai. Let's understand. Really, you see that Eretz Yisrael is not just a simple thing, because you see that people, for instance, was the Rav once said a nice pshat. He says that Shofach es Chamoso, the Pasuk says that Mizma La'osof Elokim Bogon L'nach La'secha Tilon Mizma Elokim La'osof M'bayolet. Right? So the Gemara says no, because God was Shofach Chamoso L'Eitzim V'Lavana. God got angry at the Jews. Instead of destroying the Jews, he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Like a person gets angry, so instead of
displacement.
Instead of hitting his wife, he breaks the glass. Right? So that's what it sounds like. The Rav says, no, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that what it means is that really what was the destruction of why did the Mikdash have to be destroyed? Because the Mikdash was run already by corrupt people. Was corrupt. So therefore the Mikdash had to be destroyed. So the institution had reached a point where they were completely corrupt. So rather than destroy the whole Klal Yisrael, he destroyed the institution which was responsible for the corruption. Then after that was destroyed, so then the Jews, then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai started a whole new application of the whole system, which was in Golis, and there they were able to survive because they got away from the people who were corrupt, that were running. If they would have stayed there, they would have been destroyed. Because since those who were running, who were in charge of running Eretz Yisrael, running the Mikdash, were corrupt, then there would be no way for those who were on a high level to be able to exist. In Golis, they were able to exist already. That's a different story. In Golis, people can sneak by. You can sneak through. But if you have your own system and the people who know you, who are under, whose system you are under, you see, are corrupt, there's no way to survive. It's an impossibility. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that the hatred of an Amoritz for a Talmud Chacham is greater than the hatred of a Goy to a Jew. That's what the Gemara says himself. See? And it has to be that way, because he's very close to the phenomena. The outsider, the guy, doesn't know what a Talmud Chacham is exactly. So he doesn't have any idea, really. So the Jews were able to live, to exist in Golis. Of course, you can sneak through. The philosopher can sneak by. So the whole system was able to keep on going. However, when you're under your own rulership, your own people, if there's corruption, then it's impossible to escape. Then that's the death blow for the whole system. See? So before God told Avraham Avinu about Yerushas, about Ha'aretz, Yerushas Ha'aretz, so he didn't have any kasher. Because there'd be certain people, Koyezarecha, true, it'd be a tremendous nation, nation of Chachamim, nation of philosophers, very nice. So that's good. But it can exist. Such a phenomenon can exist. But once he told them about Yerushas Ha'aretz, Yerushas Ha'aretz presents a tremendous problem, because that means that they're going to have their own place. They're going to have their own place. They're going to be under the jurisdiction of their own masses. Under the jurisdiction of their own masses, how could they survive? Because the masses can never really have the true ideas, so there has to be corruption. There's going to be corruption. It'll destroy the entire system. You see? It'll destroy the entire system. So it's true that God can have a special bris, but what good is the whole bris if there's no system going on? If there's an ongoing system, so okay. So then you can say that God creates a new, his Kares Bris, and he relates to this nation in a special historic way. That's outside the laws of nature. Fine. But if the nation itself is going to be gone, going to be destroyed, then there's nothing. There's nothing to have a bris with. So therefore, so God answered him. He said, no. He said, "Kholi eglim mishulashes ve'ez mishulashes la'ayel mishulash v'sor v'gozol." So Chazal say it means the karbonos. And then Chazal say that Avraham Avinu asked, he said, and what do I do when there's no, no Beis HaMikdash? So he said, Talmud Torah, just a second, hold on. So the question was Yerushas Ha'aretz, right? So he said, how is it possible? How is it possible to have such a system? So God told him, Schus HaKabonis. What is Schus HaKabonis? Schus HaKabonis means like this. What are Kabonis really? Kabonis, the Rambam explains in the Mara Luchan that Kabonis really was something that caters to a primitive part of man. The idea of Kabonis caters to a primitive part of man. But yet, on top of that structure, you have a whole system of halacha, whole system of kachim, all the hundreds and hundreds of halachas. So that really, when a person understands the avodah, it becomes a totally intellectual endeavor. So what has? So that's avodah. See, that's really avodah. The three things the world stands: Torah, avodah, gnas chasadim. Avodah is the kabbonis. What does Kabbonis represent? Kabbonis represents the way the system of Torah works. It takes a person's primitive emotion. He's attached to the Maisa Karban. Maisa Karban awakens in the person a certain emotional response. You see? So it attracts him. Now he starts moving in that direction. He starts moving. When he gets there, all of a sudden he finds a whole... he has to learn something about this. It's not so simple. Oh, there's a whole system, this halacha, that halacha. Then he sees it's not just an isolated halachas of performance, but there's a whole theoretical body that is behind all these performances. So he moves into the intellectual plane. Moves into the intellectual plane, then he sees that he goes through all the halachas, and then he sees there's a whole metaphysics behind the halachic system. So really, that's the way that the Torah takes a person from the base emotion and brings him up to the highest level. And Kabbonis represents that phenomena. Kabbonis represents that phenomena. So that's precisely what the answer was. The answer that God gave Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu said, "Amoydeki Roshena, how is it possible to have such a system? Because you can only have a few people that are the philosophers, and the rest is the Hamon Am. If you're going to put them in one land, in one place, so then they won't be able to exist. The Hamon will destroy the Chachamim." The only way it's possible is if there's no land. On the contrary, if there's no land. So he said, no, the answer was the Kabbonis. Why? Because the Kabbonis is the what God told Avraham Avinu was like this, that I will introduce a special method and a special system where you could raise the person from the emotional level. You could raise him to a higher level through the system of halacha. That way, that's the system that will be able to establish the nation. See? That's the system. What? That's how can it work out? And you can't be set up. There can't be such a possibility. So God told them how there could be system. The answer really is the system of Torah. That's really the answer, system of halacha. Kabbanis represents the system. It represents the progression from the primitive to the higher level. That system is really, that's the system of the Yadis. There's no other system in the world like that. That's the system of the Yadis. You see, it works. One second. Now you have just here and there. But a whole system you couldn't have.
But the idea of bris that doesn't follow those laws, right?
What? Bris means it doesn't follow those laws insofar as Chav HaOnesh is concerned, and so far as that the nation will always exist. But if you have nothing to exist, then what's the purpose? If you have no nation, the bris doesn't mean that God is going to create the people, to just create philosophers, create the robots. They're people, they're like anybody else. So there has to be some way that they could function. That they could function. Okay. Chazal says that Avraham Avinu said Tenach b'zman she'beis hamikdash kayam. B'zman she'ein beis hamikdash kayam, how will they be able to do it? No, the Gemara says learning. Talmud Torah. Gemara says learning. That's really in line with the idea what we're saying exactly. Yeah, that's precisely what it is. But if that's the case, if you're going to say that in the Chazal, it comes out that Avraham Avinu wasn't asking only about Eretz Yisrael. Because he's saying...
He's talking about the Jewish existence in general.
Because he's saying, Tenech was much based on the Kayim. So it must be that Chazal... I have to check. It must be that Chazal is not going according to this Rashi before that says that... B'moed HaKirashena. In other words, you have to say that once God explained the system to him, God's not talking about isolated philosophers existing in the future from Avram, but he's talking about a whole system. So then the question was, then you must have the Kabbanis. So how can it be? What happens when there's no Kabbanis? So God told him that Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah, which means to say, actually, it was really
and
me. That's right. That was what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did, really. That the system was able to exist once it was established already. It was able to continue to go just in the abstract, based upon Talmud Torah. That's what holds the system together. What holds the system together today is Talmud Torah. See, why Kabbanis? Why Kabbanis? I'll tell you why Kabbanis. Because Kabbanis represents, what does Kabbanis really mean? It's the religious emotion. That's what it is. What is Kabbanis? Kabbanis is a religious emotion.
Okay.
Exactly. That's what it is. It's because that's the primitive. There is a certain primitive aspect to religious emotion, which means that the person that takes it wants to sacrifice this thing to God. You see, you have to understand it. But the Yahadis lets him bring the carbon, but by the time he walks out of the base of Mikdash, he had a different experience than he thought. See, that's the way the system works.
I understand. So why should God stick in the answer to Tefillah?
What?
Talmud Torah really is not the answer.
Excuse me?
Talmud Torah is not what keeps the masses together.
It's only Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah keeps the masses together, but it's the phenomena, the other phenomena, that attract the masses. You have to have the religious phenomena to attract the masses. Once you attract the masses, then you can raise them to a higher level. But you have to have the religious phenomena to attract them. And yeah, it does have those phenomena. The first part means that God revealed to Avraham Avinu the dynamics of the system of Torah. He showed the blueprint of the system of Yadis, of how it works. This is the way the system works. Yes, if it wasn't for the way the pasuk is, I mean, I have to do some more research on it, but the simplest way to learn would be, not that the kasha was on B'moed HaKirashena, on the land alone, but the concept, the kasha was B'moed HaKirashena really meant the whole picture of Klal Yisrael. And that's why the second kasha of Chazal fits in very nicely, even outside the land. Even
so what's the kasha?
Kasha was such a system. How could there be such a nation? It's impossible. You can't have a nation like that. You can have isolated philosophers, but you cannot have a nation. A whole nation with a system working like this is impossible.
Kaddish
is impossible. Just as a philosopher. And the proof of the matter is no philosopher ever devised a system like Allah. No philosopher. I mean, Plato's Republic. No one ever devised a system like this. And this, you see how this system works. This system works. The system works for thousands of years, just factually. The other philosophers, they had a few here and there. That's it. No system. They could never establish a system. In fact, I think Socrates says himself that he gave up on it. Practicality is impossible. But the Yadis, that was the answer to Avraham Avinu's kasha. The answer to Avraham Avinu's kasha was
Kabbanis.
Torah. That's the answer. That's the only way. Well, you get the people from the surround, you attract the masses, you move them, you attract them with the emotions, a little bit of frustration, emotions, move them in, and then you raise them up to the higher level, the system of Torah. That was Bamoedek Yerushalayim.